Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look at John chapter 17, 2 Corinthians 5, and loving our neighbor and how they intersect. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the At the Table podcast. Before I get going, I just want to reminisce a minute. It is now May the 28th on the day that I am recording this episode. A little over 1 year ago, my first episode dropped, and I had no idea what this podcast was going to look like, and it has certainly morphed throughout this year, and I have plans for it to continue to grow and change as we continue on into the second year of this podcast. But I'm just excited, and thank you for anyone who's listened any of the time, honestly. My musings and ramblings at time are simply just my attempt to help you to grow spiritually, to grow closer to God, to be encouraged and equipped on this journey that it is to follow and know Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to jump in, and I just, it has been a busy couple of weeks here in my life. We've got some personal health things going on, and I'm just wanted to say thank you. I'm so thankful to God and what He's doing in the midst of this, how ministry continues, how He weaves all of this together, and how it has just really, it's been, while it's been a trying time, we're so thankful for so much. And this morning I was reading John chapter 17. In fact, I had shared something about this on Facebook this morning, and it just kind of hit me as I was reading and listening to a commentary on John chapter 17. And, you know, if you don't know, this is the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, and it's really the last third of the book is the time of the Last Supper through the Garden of Gethsemane, into the cross, into the resurrection. And so it's the very end of Jesus's ministry and life before He is resurrected, obviously. And in John chapter 17, Jesus, I think, just kind of gets to that point and He just prays. He just spends time praying to the Father about many things. One, about the upcoming trials and things He was going to deal with, and asking God to even glorify Him as Jesus strove to glorify God the Father. Then He spent time praying for the disciples. And then at the end of the chapter, it's fascinating to me. I'm always drawn to this as He prays for us, believers, after that point. In fact, in John 17, verse 20, it starts out and says, "My prayer is not for them alone," not just for the disciples. He says, "I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, and that all of them may be one. Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. I, Jesus, in them, and You in Me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them, even as You have loved Me." And that's verse 23, and the emphasis is purely mine on those words, but just so much there. Number one, I think Jesus' call for unity and pray that those that would believe because of the message that was going to be shared by the disciples, the message which is obviously the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's quoted from 1 Corinthians 15, but that's the gospel, and that message is what would go on to transform and change the world. Well, we're beginning this week coming up, a couple days from now, on June 1st, we will begin a summer challenge, if you will, that I think and I hope is going to morph into a year-long challenge, and it's centered around the idea of loving your neighbor. I'm not going to spill the beans too much on this. I just want you to know, and if you're not even an attender of our church, catch the sermon posted or watch it on Sunday. But this idea of loving our neighbor is something that captivates me. As we see it in Matthew 22, Luke chapter 10, the spiritual leaders of the day in Jesus' time were captivated by this as well. And God had said way back in the beginning that, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the second is like it. It is love your neighbor. And this is not something new when Jesus was asked this question, but he was asked that question. What is the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all you are. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And then the captivation by those that are trying to follow him or learn more about this is, who is your neighbor? What does that mean? And so I've been thinking on and praying on this for quite some time, and we're going to do an initiative called Love Your Neighbor. It's through outreach.com, and it equips people to literally love their neighbors, their next door neighbors where they live, and be intentional about prayer and reaching out and sharing the gospel in real, tangible, bite-sized segments over the next year, and then watch what God does. And I can't wait to report on that, even on this podcast, as the year comes and goes. But for me, in reading John chapter 17, this idea that God loves me as he loved Jesus, his very son, is just captivating to me. And part of my draw to this is this realization, as I said, even on my Facebook post, that Jesus, at the doorstep of the cross, was praying for his disciples and for future believers. And what this hits me, and it says, oh, that I would never lose sight of the grace of God, and that I would continue to let it change me as I continue sharing its goodness. And so in the midst of this, in preparation for Sunday morning, my mind went to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul really gives this the why of following Christ. You know, why is it important that we should be living a life that shares the love that is in us? In just a few minutes, I'm going to read here, starting in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through verse 20. And this is what it says. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Circle that if you've got a written Bible or a typed up Bible, or if you've got a digital Bible, highlight that it compels us because we are convinced that one, Jesus died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, and that those who live should no longer live by themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. This is Paul writing about the church to the church in Corinth. We do so no longer. Therefore, love those words when it's there. Why is it therefore? Therefore. Well, this is why. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And here's another circle. Gave us the ministry, circle that, of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message, circle that, of reconciliation. Verse 20, we therefore are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be made right to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, man, so much. I've preached on this passage so many times. It's just so good. But in the midst of this, the key things I want to pull out of here is, number one, let his message compel us. In verse 14, it said, for Christ's love compels us. And I think that's what hit me in chapter 17 of John, where Jesus, in the midst of all this, his grace, his mercy that he was ready to pour out and receive on the cross, that God was ready to pour out on the cross, that love, the sacrifice, would change us so much so that when we receive it, when we really receive grace, we cannot help but be changed. See, we're called, we're given this ministry and message of reconciliation. We're entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're told to go and be his ambassadors. And you know, if all we did was talk, I think we would miss the point. No, I know we've missed the point. If all we do is talk about the goodness of God, and all we do is speak the words, as powerful, as impactful as they are, the reason why Christ's love is so profound is that he laid it down his life. He gave up his life. He took action for us that we couldn't do on our own. And because of what he's done, it has compelled us, or it should compel us and equip us and prepare us to be his ambassador. Remember, ambassador is a powerful word. It means we speak on behalf of and with the same authority of as Christ. In other words, we are, it's though we are giving the message, it transfers that power to us, and it, by being his spokesperson, that's what speaks loudly. By being his action, by being his hands and feet, if you've heard that phrase before. You know, I think of right now, we've just come through a cycle where they nominated a lot of ambassadors for the United States to other countries. And an ambassador carries a tremendous amount of weight as an ambassador of the United States. It carries a lot of weight because of the power, the might, the money, all of those things. So it comes with tremendous responsibility and power. Well, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, we speak on behalf of, we represent, we go with the same power of as Jesus because of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus has done, not because of anything we have done, but merely because he has given us that grace, not giving us what we do deserve, mercy, giving us what we don't deserve. And because of that, it compels us. You know, I've shared this before. I don't remember if on this podcast or not, but I remember a few months ago, I had one of those nights where I just couldn't sleep. I felt like I was being kept awake, even by God, perhaps. And so after trying everything I could to get myself to fall asleep, I kind of finally surrendered to that and said, all right, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to know today? Because tonight at 3 a.m, that you need me to hear that's so important. And after a moment of silence, the phrase that I heard loud and clear that came to my heart was this question. Do you love them like I love them, Gary? Gary, do you love them like I love them? And much like the lawyer from Luke chapter 10, when Jesus said, yeah, now go and do likewise, he was like, but who? Who do I love? Who's my neighbor? And immediately, things keep popping in my mind. It's my family. It's my extended family. It's my church family. It's those people that I see at Panera, at other places where I go, at Walmart, anywhere I go. Do you, Gary, I heard this loud and clear. God asked me, do you love them like I love them? And if I'm being really honest, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to hold back a little bit. Now, of course, I love my family without a doubt. I love those close to me. But sometimes God's asking you to love them in a different capacity. Not just in a family capacity, but in a capacity much like the Good Samaritan had when he came upon the Jewish man who was beaten and left for dead. He could have just walked right by, but he had compassion and he acted. Jesus, when he's looking out over Jerusalem, the city before Palm Sunday, he's looking on and he's feeling this angst, this maybe frustration. He has compassion on them. Other parts in the gospel, when Jesus sees people that are in such desperate need, and he's the only one that can fulfill it, he looks on them with compassion. He loves them. And I just can't help but wonder, you know, in this world that is so divided, in this world that has got such division, where if you say that you support one side of the aisle, the other side completely disowns you, calls you horrible names, and there's no ability to bring reconciliation. It reminds me that in a sin-filled world where there's fracturing, God has called us as followers of Jesus to be peacemakers. That's why in the Beatitudes, he's like, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are able to break that divide. And sometimes I wonder if the church is the last hope for truly bringing reconciliation. And how is that possible? That's only possible through Jesus Christ. But is that possible through loving our neighbor, being tangible examples of what it is like to love others well? And I'm just excited about this coming week and this month and this year ahead of us. I can't wait to get into the book of Acts. We're going to be tackling that and how the early church just grabbed onto this, loving one another. But I want to challenge each of you right now, as we're given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you are a follower of Christ, you are a new creation and you've been given the mission and the message of the gospel, and you've been called to be an ambassador. Are you being a good ambassador? Not just through words, but in how we treat others and how we love them, even when it's hard. Well, let me pray for you real quick. I don't often do that on the podcast, and then I'll give you a final charge, but I just feel like this is a compelling moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those listening and hearing this today. God, I pray that they would be challenged to know the greatest commandment, which is to love you more than anything and to love others. God, let us understand that this means sometimes loving people that are hard to love. I pray that you would stir in our heart to hold true to this ambassadorship that you've called each believer to, and that we've been given the ministry and the message of the gospel, and that we're called to take it and to tell others and to live in a way that others see it in our lives. God, we pray that many come to know you, Jesus, through him, through the work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that your gospel, your grace would change people, which then in turn change families, which would then change communities, which would then change states, and could then lead to changing this country and changing the world, all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let us live a life that speaks so loudly with our love and compassion that we don't even have to say a word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And if it has and it's been uplifting, I encourage you to like, share, comment, leave good ratings on this podcast wherever you listen to it. If there's ever any way that we can help you here at Grace Community Church, I pray that you go to gccofalliance.org and you click on the Contact Us button and get in contact with us and let us help you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Until next time, everybody, we'll see you later.
You've been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor at Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.